Welcome to the S'mores Indoors Podcast, the perfect combination of talk and interviews between my favorite podcast hosts. Now please, sit back, relax, and welcome your host, Corey.
Welcome to the S'mores Indoors Podcast. I am Corey, and Jonathan is here with me as always. Jonathan, what's been going on with you lately?
Oh man, we haven't spoken forever.
I know.
Like it's been 2 weeks already.
Yeah, it has.
Yeah.
Not really, but yeah, it's been 2 weeks for the people that don't watch us on YouTube, which if you're not watching us on YouTube, you need to go do that because we do a lot of cool stuff there. So
it's S'mores Indoors Podcast on YouTube. So
yes,
get over
join,
there.
Join the cult that's constantly growing over there. So I asked you what's been going on, but have you picked up anything cool recently?
Yeah, a couple things. Like, if you watched us on YouTube, you would know that we have been just sodomizing these family videos that are going out of business. I haven't showed this anywhere, so I guess I'll go ahead and show like this. You might know about a couple of these, but I'll show what I picked up at Family Video during the last round. Okay. Now, we talked a little bit. Like, they're still not doing like the crazy flash sales yet, which is what I'm looking for. Like, I want those dollar Blu-rays. That's what I'm needing. When I think liquidation, that's what I want.
I need that too, but it feels like people are just going nuts at full price on this.
I know, right? Like, I think when they did them, like, they were just kind of closing them here and there. Like, nobody knew it was a thing and that they were selling the movies. But I went in and made another pass, right? So I picked up stuff I was just curious about. I got Downhill with Will Ferrell, Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah. I picked up the Scream Factory Collector's Edition of Mad Max. OOP. Nice. It's out of print, y'all. Sorry, Jake. I told you I'd leave it. I didn't, though. This one's kind of embarrassing. I picked up Fantasy Island.
I've been curious about that one. Just
I'm curious.
Sure it's horrible, but whatever.
I hear bad things, but you know. Here's one I actually really dug. I watched this in the drive-ins when it came out. Blair Witch, the remake.
Gotcha. I don't hate that one as like a lot of people do.
I don't either, man. I thought it was fine. I even liked like the big, weird, tall creature at the end. I thought that was super dope.
You know what I love about that movie is the thing they did where, like, someone breaks, like, one of those stick figures, and this girl kind of folds up. You remember that part?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a lot of cool shit in that movie. And, like, it was way cooler to me that they somehow kept that reboot quiet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, it's announced, and, like, 3 weeks later, it's coming out. Like, nobody knew it was coming. The Forest or something?
The woods.
Yeah. They filmed it, and I guess nobody ever thought, surely to God, they won't make a Blair Witch remake, right?
Yeah.
But it worked. It was good. This one's for Hayden, Mr. Hayden Cornelius. I picked up the Phantom Thread,
nice.
Mostly because if I ever damage any of my Friday the 13th,
right,
cases, I have something to put it in and a coaster to set my drink on.
There you go.
And there's one back there that was really cool that I'm sending to Hayden, but it's Red State on DVD. That's another out of print title. And I got Tales from the Hood 3 because you said it was pretty good. So, but it's a DVD.
Yeah, I'm. Don't judge me if you hate it, but it's definitely. I think it's definitely better than the second one, which doesn't take much.
No, that second one's trash.
There's a couple stories in there I thought were on par with some of the stuff from the first one. So.
And that was it for Family Video so far. Like, I actually asked them how long they're planning on being open, and they said their final day that they can do anything is February 28th.
Okay.
But she predicts that they won't be open that long. So
yeah.
So less than almost a month.
From the ones I've been to, there's no way they're going to last that long because people are just wiping them out. I'm going to probably check out a couple tomorrow while I'm around them and just see what's left. I'm just curious, but
yeah.
But I pretty much like got all the stuff I really want, especially at those prices. So
oh yeah, yeah. There's a ton of stuff I went past, and I was like, you know what? If that was $2.
Yeah.
I'd take a chance on that, but
yeah.
Not at $5.
I hear you got a picked up a 4K title too.
I did. I picked up one of Scream Factory's very first 4Ks, Prince of Darkness, working on. I'd never seen this movie, by the way. It's like one of the few John Carpenter films I have not seen. I hadn't seen. So I'm working on a review of the release of this and the movie for my channel. So be on the lookout for that the next year.
I really like that movie, actually.
I hear really good things.
And that's kind of a cool slipcover on that. It's got the old poster art. And
I was going to gripe for a second, and I'll do a little of this in the video, too. But all right, so you buy a nice premium collector's edition from Scream Factory, right? You get a couple things, right? You get a slipcover that usually has alternative artwork, mm-hmm. and you get artwork that's interchangeable, right?
Right.
Not on a 4K, you know?
Wow. That's
kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's like, oh, it's just the packaging. You should be concerned about the movie. Yeah, but $25.
Yeah,
I mean, put a little
agree with you.
It's ridiculous.
Get your point there. So that's cool. I actually got that coming. I'll probably get here tomorrow. But I got the Region B edition off of eBay for like $20. So
that's probably the way to go, honestly. But
yeah, it has all those special features from the old Scream Factory release. So
same transfer.
So I thought that was worth buying. So that's cool.
Did you get anything else cool?
I have ordered a couple things and I can't even think of what they are right now. But pass those along, I guess, when they come in. So, but I haven't bought anything, like been out and about to buy anything recently. No. So, well, I did buy a Xbox Series X.
And, ooh!
I forgot about that. I've been playing that. Damn. It's pretty cool. Having a good time with that. So,
did it come on a pallet, like in a big crate, like in Creepshow, like the crate thing? Is that how it shipped to you?
No. But it was well packaged, so I'll give them that. So got here in 2 days, so can't complain really. So, but yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Maybe I'll do a review on that for the YouTube channel in the future.
Hey, there you go.
Talk about what games I think are best for it, stuff like that. But yeah, that was a chunk to put down and
Chickpea.
Yeah, got the dog co-hosting from my location. So we're recording this edition today on January 20th, which is Inauguration Day. So we have new leadership in America, and I don't want to get into politics really, but I do want to make one statement pertaining to Inauguration Day. It's about former Vice President Mike Pence. I have this statement. I believe when he packed up his shit to leave, if there were vice presidential bath towels, they went in his bag.
Let me ask you this question, though. It's the better question.
Okay.
How much shit would you steal from, like, what is the house that he stays in? Is it the Off-White House? What is it? I know it has a name.
I think it's somewhere on the Naval headquarters or something like
anyway,
that.
Anyway, VP house.
Yeah, here's why I say this. So, Mike Pence and I have something in common. We're both Hoosiers. And if he's like other Hoosiers, we're some hijacking sons of bitches. So
yes.
let me tell you this story. The other night I took my son out to eat and we went to Red Lobster. He didn't eat all his food. So he got two, to-go trays to take his food home. So in one tray went the shrimp that he didn't eat. And the other thing he had left was coleslaw. He opens the second container, puts the coleslaw in it, glass bowl and all, and just shuts the lid on it, okay? So then me, being his dad, knows he can't eat that with his fingers, so I just take a fork and stick it in my jacket pocket. I don't know how many, like, Parmesan shakers I've taken in my life, just stuck them in my pocket. It used to be a goof. Now I have, like, 20 of these things, so He took those bath towels, I'm telling you right now. And if he didn't, I'm going to be disappointed in him.
That is hilarious. That's fun. My mother-in-law has a whole set of steak knives that are just hijacked from different restaurants. And those little, like, you know, when you get your like side sauce or whatever?
Yeah.
Ton of those, which I've all, if I was going to take anything from a restaurant, it'd be those. Because I don't know where you can buy those at.
You know what I want to grab is like a collection of the salsa little bowls at like the Mexican restaurant.
Those are harder to get out, man.
They are. Because you got salsa in them. You got to wipe them clean or something. I don't know.
But yeah, no, but yeah. Like those like little stone bowls or whatever. Yeah, those would be dope.
So if you're ever on eBay and you see some vice presidential towels listed by the seller, Church Boy or something, you know, it's Mike Pence selling them towels he took. So, but that's my projection my statement for Inauguration Day. So
I like that. I like it.
Thankfully, no one was killed today. It all went smooth. So that's all we can hope for.
Yeah, but you know what? You know, since we're on politics, this ain't gonna get too political, but you know, he was throwing out some executive orders today, and I didn't see one pertaining to getting Walmart and Target to put back their physical media. Now, I'm just saying, the man has some power. He's got some stroke. He could write that in, right?
He may be too old for physical media. You know, he may still have a reel-to-reel audio player or something. So,
you boys talking about records?
We needed like someone in their 40s in there or something, I think. But oh well.
Yeah. Biden, I know you're listening. Yeah, I mean, if you find some time in the next week, I know today was kind of busy, but like, you know, Friday or something, just throw out an executive order to keep physical media around. That's all I'm saying. Like, I'm just, I know you're listening. So we're on his
own. But you know what? I think Kamala Harris probably has an extensive Blu-ray collection, so maybe she can talk him into doing it, you know.
Possibly. We may try
her
that.
Her husband was an entertainment lawyer, so you never know.
Oh, for real, man. They get those, like, for your consideration packages every year, probably, so.
Guaranteed. So, we can hold out hope there, so.
And, you know, kind of why I brought that up a little bit is go check out your nearest Walmart soon. They're doing another reset. And what I noticed today was the 4K section is getting nixed entirely. Like that one little spot, which it wasn't very big at all to begin with, but it looks like they're cutting it out completely.
That sucks too, because they usually have some pretty good deals in that little section. So
for real, they
you know, I'm all about spending 10 or 15 bucks on some 4K. So
absolutely. And that didn't look like it's going to be a thing much longer. It's going to be much smaller at least.
That's too bad. It's unfortunate. But anyway, we'll move on to the topic at hand. So today, if you've checked out the description of this episode of the podcast, we're going to be doing our top 5 movies of 2020. And also, I have a worst. I have some honorable mentions also. Also, I have my worst movie of the year and most disappointing movie of the year. Did you get those two as well?
I got worst. I didn't get most disappointing because I'd say the most. Well, I'll save that. Okay.
Okay.
For the list.
So I thought we could start with, and these don't have to go in depth on these, but kind of go through some honorable mentions first before we get to everything else. So you want to start with your honorable mentions?
Yeah, I just have a couple here. My honorable mentions are Invisible Man, which I thought was a lot better than it should have been, right? Like, I wasn't really expecting anything out of that movie, and I ended up actually kind of enjoying it. So, and I think that was one of the very first movies at home, too, that they tried to do earlier in the year where you could rent it for like 20 bucks at home during its theatrical run. The second one being The Tax Collector, which gets shit on pretty heavily for being just a thoughtless movie or whatever. But I think it's really good, and it's extremely brutal. I don't know if you've watched it yet or not, Corey, but I loved it.
Haven't watched it yet. And that's, having said that, I also want to say, and I think you're in the same boat, there's a lot that I wish I had seen going into this. So, you know, things could have changed, but kind of going by what I did see. And yeah, there you go.
yeah, there's stuff that I definitely need to see that I'm just... Am I still coming? Okay, there it is. Like something weird happened. I couldn't hear myself anymore. But yeah, there's a ton of stuff that I still need to see. Two in particular that I'm sure we'll talk about. So
right, and we can kind of mention a couple like at the end that you still want to see for sure, and like that.
And how do you want to do? You want to go one best, one worst, or do you want to just go all best, all worst?
Well, I only have one worst. In one disappointing.
Really?
So yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I did five. Whoops.
Oh well, that's cool.
Yeah.
So I have six honorable mentions though that I'll bring up. First off, I'm not sure this counts. I'm gonna count it. The Last Dance, Chicago Bulls documentary from ESPN. I didn't put it in the top five because wasn't sure that I was gonna count that. So
yeah, but I'll give it to you.
Yeah. Another one is Host, the Shudder exclusive movie that was kind of based on the Zoom call thing. I thought they did that pretty well for, it's only an hour long, I think, something like that. But I was entertained by it, I thought. Borat 2. I kind of had fun with that one. Not great, but it was all right. And then these three are probably the top of my honorable mentions. I'm going to go with Relic. It was a movie I enjoyed. Probably want to watch it again to really grasp some of the intricate details that I, missed on the first time. The next one is The Hunt, a film I know I'll probably rewatch quite a bit in the future. Kind of a fun take on, I guess, politics and horror. And then my last honorable mention is The Lodge. Just a great movie. I think I saw The Hunt and The Lodge probably in the same couple days. Really good one. That would have been in my top five had I not watched a couple movies last night, probably. So
yeah. Hey.
So, yeah.
Anticipation.
So I guess I'll let you do, like, five through two on your worst, and then we can do,
five through two on my worst here. The Grudge, The Grudge reboot. What do you really need to say about that? That's pretty trash. I know you own it. I don't know if you've seen it.
Not yet. No.
Yeah. We both have that issue. Birds of Prey.
Okay.
Awesome slipcover. Terrible movie. let's see here. Hubie Halloween.
Oh, haven't seen that one either, but
yeah, I had four. I thought I had five. Sorry.
Okay.
Number one, I'll save. So.
Okay. So my number one worst is a WWE movie. Imagine that.
Ooh.
Called The Main Event. Have you heard of this movie?
I have not.
It's basically about this kid that, finds a luchador mask. And when he puts it on, he can basically beat any wrestler there is. And he goes to this WWE tryout and kind of runs through all the competition. And it's just bad. It's really
bad. It's like they had those basketball movies, like Mike.
Yeah, it's basically like Mike, the wrestler. Yeah. So that was my worst that I saw this year.
Yeah, okay. Like, you went with, like, a real, like, crappy movie. Well, we can, you want to hit the,
Did you have your worst?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Wonder Woman 1984.
Ooh.
That would probably also be the most disappointing.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, that was pretty rough. And she totally does rape a guy in that movie, so. Wow.
So, okay, I'll go with my disappointing, most disappointing. I remember hearing when this movie is going to come out, and I didn't expect much. But I expected a lot more than what I got, and it was the Impractical Jokers movie.
I skipped it.
Did you? Good idea.
I just didn't see how it worked as a movie. I was like, is it just going to be like skits, or is it just like is it the show for an hour and a half, or?
Yeah, it's unfortunately, it's almost like they have to do these scams to, like, get to an end goal. I can't even remember what the end goal is now. It's just bad. I mean, it rivals that main event movie for being the worst thing I saw this year, but there's a couple funny moments, I guess, in it. So,
you know, but like every like interesting or funny TV show that gets popular, like that kind of happens with it. Like they just end up, they go way too far and end up running it into the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is a shame. I really enjoy the show a lot.
But, oh, yeah.
Not good movie. So, yeah. So, I guess we can do back and forth with our top five. You want me to go first, or you want...
Go ahead.
All right. Now, my number five is one I saw last night, and it moved into my top five. Now, I do want to say, I was telling you off air, but I kind of based my top five off of rewatchability and how good I thought the movie was. Was rewatchability weighing a little heavier because, you know, obviously I feel like if I'm going to be rewatching a movie, that should give it more value than if it was like really good, because I don't know if that makes sense, but that was kind of my criteria on making this list. So my number five is Palm Springs.
The Andy Samberg movie.
Yeah.
I dug that movie, dude.
I did too. Really good. It was a cool take on the whole Groundhog Day thing. Yeah. Well acted, well shot. It's like a beautiful shot movie. And it was really funny. It's one I think I'll watch quite a bit in the future. So,
yeah, no, it was really fun. Yeah. You know, and I don't hear a lot of people talk about it either. I think it's because it was straight to Hulu or whatever.
Yeah. Like,
people just missed it.
I think I heard you and maybe Hayden talking about it on some live stream, and that was one I was like, well, I'll check it out for sure.
Yeah, definitely worth checking out for sure. Really good.
Yeah.
One of the better comedies I saw this year, for sure.
Yeah.
I agree. My number five also comes, well, I guess, you know, I can kind of number these. I said I didn't really have an order for these, but I guess I kind of do in my head, honestly. Okay. My number five is going to be Possessor.
Okay.
Have you watched it yet?
I haven't watched it yet.
It's an interesting film. I'm not going to. It's almost like you have to watch it again, right? Like, obviously, but because it's David Cronenberg's son, so it's a little bit thoughty, and it's got a lot of, it's got some body horror to it. It's an interesting movie, and it's one that I will watch again. So that's why I'm putting it on my top five.
Cool. Yeah, that's one that I just didn't get to. And like I said, we'll discuss kind of some of the ones that we want to watch that we haven't got to yet at the end here. But that's one I definitely have to get to. So, so my number four is The Dark and the Wicked. This is one that I watched not too long ago, and off of our buddy Lauren's suggestion. Really well done movie, really dark. Kind of one of those movies you don't want to watch alone in the dark, for sure. And it has some like jump scare moments, but it's the type of jump scares that are really well done, you know, not just cheap, which I can tolerate it when it comes to that, but just a creepy movie and pretty good watch, so.
That's been on my watch list for like a month now.
Yeah.
I need to. I just got to get in the mood for that kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? And
I get you. Yeah.
I just watched Relic not too long ago, and it's like I kind of need to like... They feel similar like from the trailers. So I didn't really want to like jump back into something like that. That's something I'll end up catching up on probably in the next month or so.
I'll say this about that movie is I think you'll like it better. For me, it's more straightforward, you know, mm-hmm. the story. Relic's a little deep.
A little more nuance. And
Yeah. And this has nuance, too, but it's, you can follow the kind of the story easier through it, so.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, I mean, it looks fun. It looks scary. Like, and that's what everybody says. It's super scary, so.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is what you're looking for in a scary movie, I believe.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, my number four is going to be The Hunt.
Oh, okay.
You've already mentioned that a little bit in your honorable mentions, but that was one movie I expected zero from and like had so much fun with.
Yeah.
It was, I love how, you know, it's very political. I mean, but you can watch the movie without really looking into that and still enjoy it. But I love how it gets both sides really good.
Yeah.
And we need more of that in the world. We need to laugh at ourselves a little bit more, because it, you come out, I mean, I don't think it's controversial. I think they did hold it back, right? Like they stopped it from coming out initially due to the controversy, but, it was really good.
The one thing I'll say about that is, you know, a lot of people talk trash about Blumhouse, but they could still do good movies, you know, and I hope they'll do more stuff like that and, you know, keep horror going in a positive way for sure.
Absolutely. So. Yeah.
All right. So my number three is The King of Staten Island.
Nice.
I saw this one pretty early on. And I'm not a lot of people say this. I'm not a big Pete Davidson fan either, but Pete Davidson really didn't make the movie for me. It was all about Bill Burr. And, I just thought he did a great job. Him and, Marissa Tomei, isn't it? I think she's
Marissa
the
Tomei.
Yeah. You know, and it's cool. It's kind of like a biopic almost of Pete Davidson. Not really, but you know, it uses a lot of elements of his life. If, for people that don't know, his dad was a fireman that died on 9/11. And they kind of go into, that's kind of his backstory. You know, his dad died as a fireman. I don't think they say it was in 9/11, but you know, a lot of elements from his real life that go into that. And I'm sure he probably had a lot of those depression issues and suicide issues in his growing up. So, but I, you know, if you're not a fan of Pete Davidson, please look past that and watch it. It's really good. So
it's a Judd Apatow movie, so you know it's going to be decent. But the only, I liked the movie; I thought it was great. I will revisit it. But if I had one complaint about the movie, it's about a half hour too long.
Yeah, I could see that.
That's the only. I mean, just a two hour plus comedy movie is a little much for me, especially when it's kind of straightforward comedy like this is. But
right.
Other than that, it's great.
I'll say I saw a Facebook post from our buddy Michael Felscher who said that was one of his favorite Judd Apatow movies. So.
Oh, really? Yeah, I did see that one too, yeah.
Well, so,
mine's forever going to be the 40-year-old virgin. But
yeah. I can't believe how old that movie is now.
I know, dude. I mean, I was a freshman in high school when that came out.
So, yeah. That's my number three. So,
my number three is Mr. Christopher Nolan's Tenet.
Oh, nice.
Have you had the
chance? I've not seen that one yet, no.
It's wild, okay? Like, it takes you a minute. And yeah, the sound sucks so bad on it. I don't get that with Christopher Nolan. He's like, he refused to let there be an Atmos soundtrack on that Blu-ray, by the way. He's like, nope, 5.1 master. And the sound is muffled, so like, that's annoying. But it's so interesting that I put it on here. Like it was one of the movies I had to think about like a couple days after I watched it. Right. And that's the sign of a good movie to me. If I'm still thinking about it way after the credits have rolled, it's also a beautiful movie. Robert Pattinson's awesome in it, which is another reason I think that he's going to make a decent Batman and people need to quit giving him shit. Cause he's actually a pretty decent actor. He can play a badass man. Like,
yeah, he can play anything. I tell you what, I'm Denzel's son is like, he's making his way in Hollywood, man. That Black Klansman movie was awesome. He was in,
yeah.
And like, I haven't seen this, but from what I hear, he did a great job. So,
oh yeah, he was great in it.
So yeah, that's awesome. Definitely another one that I need to see. So that was your number three, right?
That was my number three.
All right, my number two is one I saw last night as well. And this was a suggestion from our buddy Hayden again from the Cornelius Collection on YouTube. Ooh. Check him out. So my number two is The Sound of Metal.
Really?
Yes. And if you don't know what it's about a drummer in a I guess you call it a metal band, and he starts to lose his hearing. And it's just, man, when you think about, when I think about movies that should be like up for Best Picture, this is one of them, because the actor, I can't think of his name, but that played the drummer, did so well, and it's just a pretty powerful performance. It's a sad movie to see him go through that. And to me, that's like one of my nightmares in life, is like to lose my hearing or vision. I don't know what would be worse. I don't know if I had to pick one, vision. Which is worse.
You I'd think vision? Vision? I think it'd be vision.
I think you could probably overcome losing your hearing easier over time, but that would still suck, man. So,
yeah.
And this gives you a good like picture into what that would be like. And
now, is that on like VOD or is it like out now, or like
it is on physically? It is on VOD. It's free to watch on Amazon, I believe.
So, oh, well, I will definitely have to check that out then.
Yeah. So it's definitely worth a watch. It's the movie. I think it's the best movie I saw for 2020. Would have been on my top spot, like I said, had it not been for that rewatchability factor. So
yeah, you got to let it age a little bit.
Yeah. So I don't think it's a hard watch. So I don't think it's that rewatchable, if that makes sense.
Gotcha.
Well, yeah, that's my number two.
I'm going to have to check that one out. Now, I'm almost positive you probably haven't seen my number two. Okay. And this movie got shit all over when it came out. Straight to Netflix. But I love it. I think it's from where I'm from, right? Like, I've seen this kind of thing happen. And it's Hillbilly Elegy. It's the Ron Howard movie that was straight to Netflix. And it's about a family from Kentucky who's dealing with the mother has a pretty bad heroin addiction. Oh. It's based on a true story. A guy, you know, he gets out thankfully and, you know, becomes a lawyer and things like that and writes a book about his experiences. But it really does get like rural Kentucky dead on, like even to the drug problem.
Right.
And I think people from this area could rural areas who are like afflicted with drug abuse, really good. I mean, the movie made me cry.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be honest. It was really powerful. Extremely well acted. Glenn Close plays the mamaw, and like just think of like Hillbilly Mamaw, right? Like,
yeah,
she's great in the movie. I think it's Amy Adams. Yeah, Amy Adams plays the lead, the mother who's, you know, addicted to drugs and whatnot. It's a very good movie. Don't sleep on it. Check it out.
Cool. Yeah, I haven't even heard of that one, so definitely have to check it out. So, all right, well. Here we come to the top spot on each list. And I did not think this one would be my top spot, but the more I was making this list, the more I thought about it, the more I thought I'll probably rewatch this one the most. So my number one, shockingly, is In Search of Darkness.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they paying? Did the check clear?
No. I just really had a fun time with that one, and I think I'll rewatch that one more than any of the others. So,
really, it's
kind of out of left field, but
yeah, no, for sure.
I thought it had some cool twists in it. You know, I at the start I thought the boys were the killers that were going around, you know, and then it all got twisted, and then there was even a twist between the girls, and so I don't know.
Okay, Okay, I'm lost because I thought you were talking about the In Search of Darkness documentary.
Let me see if I wrote down the wrong name. Maybe I probably did. Oh, okay. Like, never mind. I sound like an idiot. We summon the darkness. Well, there you go. I liked it so much I didn't know the name of it.
Sorry about that, Corey.
We summon the darkness.
Yeah, I was like, no, man, In Search of Darkness was good, and they gave us that plug and everything, but
they're too similar.
You know what, though? I forgot about We Summon the Darkness. Mm. I did. I did like that movie. I really dug it.
Yeah, I just went back and thought about it, and I was like, that's one that, like, it was just a fun movie to watch, and I think I'll rewatch it, like, quite often. So
yeah, I enjoyed Johnny Knoxville on that quite a bit, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's my number one. We summon the darkness, not in there search of go. Darkness.
We'll fix it in post. We'll fix it in post. It's
which, speaking of In Search of Darkness, too, I kind of want to see that as soon as I can. So
I'm probably going to wait on Shudder.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll probably be on there not too long. So
yeah.
Anyway, you're number one. Hopefully you get the name right.
It's a pretty easy one, so I should be all right. This one is my number one simply because of the way the movie made me feel, right? So I've talked about it a lot. I'm really big on if a movie can make me feel an emotion intensely. And The Lodge did that for me.
Gotcha.
I've talked about it a bunch on the show and other shows and things. That movie is intense. Not the whole movie isn't intense, but those opening shots and probably the first 15 minutes of the movie are pretty intense and pretty uncomfortable. And then it does some cool things. You can kind of see the twist coming, right? But it wasn't really about that for me. It was about like the way they set that up was just kill. Because you're thinking the whole first. Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and spoil it because fuck you if you haven't seen it. It's been a whole year. Okay. You bring in Alicia Silverstone, right? Like, where has she been? Like, you know, right. Oh, Alicia Silverstone? I forgot. Like, it took me a while to figure out that's who that was, by the way. She looks right. So much different. And you have her kill herself, like, within the first 15 minutes of the movie?
Yeah.
And the whole time that's happening, like, it's setting that up. I'm like, oh, surely to God, they're not gonna kill her, right?
Yeah.
And then, boom, like, it's all on screen. It's all extremely uncomfortable. It's quiet. Whew.
Yeah, I feel like that's in the first like 15 minutes too, right? And it just sets the tone for like you don't know what to expect the rest of the way. So,
I mean, like I said, the whole time I was setting up, like you kind of had this vibe, like maybe she would, and you're kind of lingering with that, and then the actual act is so quick that it's just jarring, and that just makes you uneasy for the rest of the film.
Right. Yeah, I definitely. Can see your reasoning for having it up there. And, you know, like I said, until last night, that was in my top five, too. So,
damn it, In Search of Darkness.
Yeah. Oh. But, yeah, that's our top five. And then there's some, like I said, some other ones that I haven't seen that I really want to see. I definitely need to see Possessor, Tenet. That movie Arkansas, I still haven't watched it.
That was an honorable mention of mine, but I only wanted to keep two. Actually, I got it right there.
Arkansas. Yeah.
Arkansas is good, man.
So. Yeah, I'm going to get to it. What was it? There was something else, too. The Train to Busan Peninsula movie I want to check out. So there's a lot. It was a good year for movies, I think.
Yeah, it was.
Just kind of going back and looking at the list and making my list, I was like, damn, there was a lot that came out this year, and it feels like nothing came out. So
I know. I had to look back at like movies released in 2020 and go, oh, yeah, that did come out this year. Like,
yeah. So hopefully 2021 provides some more good stuff. I was about to watch one last night, and I realized it was a movie from this year. So I was like, well, I won't watch that.
Oh, what was that?
The One Night in Miami movie on Amazon. It's kind of a fake like a night that Malcolm X, Muhammad Ali, and Jim Brown and someone else came together to talk about talk about their role in the civil rights movement. So looks interesting, but solid. It was 2021. I watched Sound of Metal instead, and I'm kind of glad I did.
Good thing.
So. So, yeah, definitely suggest all those that we spoke about for sure. And, you know, I'm sure some other people have other picks, but those are ours. So there you go. Don't watch Impractical Jokers or The Main Event. So.
Yes. Or Hubie Halloween and Wonder Woman 1984. But I was going to say on the top of 2020, if you want to know what mine and Corey's top physical media releases of 2020, where you can go to each of our channels S'mores and Doors Podcast on YouTube and Bombast Reviews on YouTube, and we each have our own videos on that. So be sure to check that out as well.
Yes, for sure. Lots of good physical media came out this year as
well. Fantastic year for physical media.
Yeah, so we appreciate you watching the show, if you watch it on YouTube or if you listen to the podcast on podcast platforms. Please check out our YouTube channel as well, S'mores and Doors Podcast and Bombastic Reviews, where you'll find other cool stuff like this Saturday night at 10 p.m. Central, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll have an episode of Art Bell Classics, once again, diving deeper into Mel's Hole, which is going to be a fun trip. Diving
deeper into Mel's Hole, are we? Hopefully we have protection.
Oh, Mel. So...
But, you're on with Art and Mel in his hole.
Yes. And then the Saturday following, you'll see us eat some really hot peppers. So, yes, Trinidad Scorpions.
2012 hot pepper.
Which is only twice as hot as the last one, but it jumps a million Scoville.
Right?
Like, whatever. I'd rather take that 30 times hotter jump from a jalapeno to habanero, but
dude, as long as it doesn't taste like straight ass this time, I'll be fine. I don't even worry about it like burning anymore. I was like, how bad is it going to be icky?
Will.
Is it going to be icky? I don't want to be icky.
I don't know. We'll find out.
I'll tell you what I'm not doing though. I'm not going to soak it in water and eat whatever abomination that was that Lauren had last time.
How did it grow so big?
It was like, this big. It was
like one of those sponges that you put in the water and it grows. Yeah.
It was huge.
I'm like, I'm not doing that.
No.
I actually want to put one in water just to see what it does, because I can't imagine it would grow that big. So.
No, maybe I'll put it in my bathtub or something just in case. Like, it needs the room.
I don't have any open cuts if you get in that bathtub after a while.
Joke.
But anyway, guys, that's going to be the episode today. Kind of short for a typical episode, but I hope you enjoyed it and enjoyed our picks for movies this year. And definitely, if you're watching this on YouTube, leave a comment, let us know what your favorite movies were 2020. So till next time, guys, take it easy.
Later.